Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the second part of our workout foreclosureship receivership extravaganza presentation. Everything you need to know to handle the current economy. I'm going to let these guys take it over.
Thanks, Amanda. As we left off, now we're headed toward, we know we have a problem, that we've identified the problem. Now we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. And usually that is what I call a sort of a pre-foreclosure look at everything. That's where you have to dive in. Up to now, you can respond to your client and deal with it and say, well, you can do this, you can do that. But at this point, we're not doing a modification agreement probably. So even if we are, we need to know what we really have. And that usually takes some time, okay? And it's usually a little expensive to go back in and dig through your documents. So let me just start back with here. So go ahead.
Can I, before we get started, since we're supposed to make sure that we cover some ethics topics, I think the beginning of the due diligence and the beginning of the assessment of the problem is also the time to begin your assessment of your potential conflicts. Because if especially when you're on the lender, or excuse me, the borrower side, you have the borrower is usually an entity. It's run by somebody. That somebody may be on the wrong end of the personal carve-out guarantee. That person
and may be on the wrong end of the takeout provisions in their organizational documents. That person that you've been talking to that's may now not be the person to be talking to.
It may not be, yes, because in the event of certain defaults, some other people that may be in the room when you're talking to the sponsor also have the rights to kick him out in certain circumstances under the document or the organization documents. So I think it's important before you get into the hornet's nests that you're going to find in the loan documents and in the due diligence to assess what the different rights and interests are of the players on your team, because they're not all they start out together, but at certain points in the discussions, they are inevitably going to diverge. And so the proper time to do that is to at the beginning. And it's useful to advise the people that are in the room that, you remember, we're all friends now, but and this is a hard conversation to have sometimes.
Tom, do you always do an engagement letter in the beginning, yeah, of the entire transaction? Do you review that again in a workout? Or
you should. You should. And because typically the engagement letter is with the borrower.
Because if you're going to sue over the watermelon pallet, I'm thinking we could get sued.
Yeah, we could get sued. But you need to assess so that when you're talking about issues potentially or giving advice about what the borrower can do and it's going to have an impact on what the guarantor may suffer, then you need to understand that, and your client or clients need to understand where their interests diverge, what advice you should and could give, what the effect is if they get crossways. Because if they get crossways, there are certain limitations on what you can do in terms of continuing representation of either one, but probably certainly not both.
And there's your ethics.
Yeah.
There you go.
Did you check that box? I checked that box.
Do good. Be good. So
disclose in writing.
Keep disclosing in writing. So we're going to start our investigation process, and it starts out usually with a document review, file analysis, real estate analysis, due diligence, title analysis, bankruptcy analysis, authority analysis. I use the word analysis 48 times. There we go. All right. Do you want me to get that? Or?
That's you.
That's me.
So I'm always guilty of it, but not this time.
I have a joke there, but I'm going to leave that alone. All right, so foreclosure document review is I love checklists because I'm a lender's counsel. That's all I do. So I love checklists. And I have a checklist that I've used for years and years. And we've used it at Winstead. I used it at Johnson & Gibbs.